When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith. Yeah, I'm here with...
EG.
And...
David
Wood. Yeah, it's kind of a reunion though. We haven't had we've had Adam and Chris covering a lot of the live threads and recaps, and we kind of got the old gang back together here. So
yeah,
but first off, big shout out to Adam and Chris, who've been doing a ton of work
and great
keeping the blog alive and all the live threads and the recaps going. I've really appreciated it. I've had a between work and personal stuff, it's been a really, and plus this meat grinder of a schedule, it's been really hard to keep up with. So those guys have been doing awesome work.
No, it's good to have them on board and filling in where we've been falling down, unfortunately. And I feel bad because I've been gone for so long, but I'm back now. Nah, but you know, still, I mean, I'm back now, and hopefully they'll be. And we could finish the season last like 4 or 5 weeks strong. So,
well, hey, maybe longer if the EG effect keeps going.
You never know.
EG came back for one of the better games of the season, and to you, the Cavs look pretty good, don't they?
I mean, hey, I having not seen the team for a while, I was like, oh wow, I'm very impressed with. First of all, it was great to see Kevin Love on the floor and Matthew Dellavedova on the floor, and no sign of Chetty Osman, which was great. And
Delly hit a three for the first time.
He did. I posted the Delly Trey meme. It was the first time. I'm sure it's probably been posted all year, but
no, I threw it up a couple times.
All right, fair enough. But yeah, it was good to see those guys out there and actually contributing. I mean, Kevin Love had a really nice game, and then the backcourt, man. I mean, the Sexland went for 55 points and on I think like 19 of 30 shooting and 7 of 9 on 3-pointers. Like, they were just awesome. And they play pretty good defense too for three quarters.
Some of the best I've seen Colin Sexton play.
He was hustling, man.
Yeah.
And he had that one possession where he got the ball like three different times and then finally scored it. And he just kept hustling for rebounds and getting the ball back, and I don't know. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with the effort, and I think a lot had to do with Coach Greg Buckner taking over for Bernie Bickerstaff. So JB Bickerstaff. Yeah,
yeah.
I got all my names. If you them and Lee Stevens, right? Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, you can get Bernie Bickerstaff, or that was his dad. So
it was his dad. Yeah.
So
no, but Buck, man, Coach Buck was like, he was in fuego. His rotations were solid. His timeouts were timely. His demeanor was calm. His post game presser was understated but very astute, and he was given a ice water shower at the end of the game by his clearly motivated players that you know, their actions spoke much louder than words. So
I mean, it always helps when you kick off the first quarter.
I'll just say that I think
34 to 12.
Kobe Altman would probably save his job if he just decided to hire Buck for the be the coach of the Cavs for the rest of the year. Otherwise, he's going to lose him to the Celtics, who invariably will replace President Stevens with the incumbent with the newly elected president, Greg Buckner. So.
Or as the Cavs call him, Buck.
Buck. Well, yeah, I guess Jared Allen didn't even know his name was Greg. He just said, we just know him as Buck.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
obviously, yeah, it's a lot of hyperbole from me. Anybody who's listening and they're like, they start typing furiously, like, what's EG doing? He's out of his mind. I'm like, I'm having fun.
Anybody listening at this point knows you and knows you're usually out of your mind. So
yeah,
I think we're good.
I just think, man, they look great. I mean, if they look like this the rest of the year, they're definitely getting into the the 10th seed playoff or whatever the heck it's called. And
Not that they should.
I kind of don't want them to miss out on the top five guys this year, but, you know, whatever.
Well, let me qualify that with the Bulls looked really, really bad.
The same Bulls team they played, 5 days ago and got beat by,
got their
right?
butts beat, yeah. I mean, Vucevic, who killed them the last game, hit his first three shots and then was terrible the rest of the game.
Well, it's because Coach Greg started doubling him.
Yeah.
Because the first 5 minutes of this game, he was on the same track. He was having his way with Jared Allen one-on-one down low. And then they brought in Nance and they started doubling him. And, you know, he didn't have no quarter.
Yeah, you know, and I tell you what.
Those are the kind of moves that a championship-type coach makes, you know, to adjust in the first quarter of a game against a team that you beat, that you lost to a few days ago. So
I tell you what, having Nance off the bench versus having Nance as a starter is like such a luxury, because he's better than almost every bench, you know, big that you're going to find in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just a matchup you are going to win most nights. And that he played really well. It was really nice to see him healthy. He had missed the previous game against Detroit. Of course, you heard the thing that he lost about, what'd they say, about 20 pounds in about 10 days.
It was pretty intense.
Some illness that, an undisclosed illness or mystery illness of some. But tonight, 10 points, 4 rebounds, and, you know, two, hit a couple threes, 4-7 from the field, just plus 11. Just looked really, really sharp, you know, anchoring those bench units. And he only played 22 minutes, but he felt like he was out there a lot. Like, it was definitely an impactful 22 minutes.
Yeah.
So,
nobody played more than 31 minutes tonight.
Yeah. Colin Sexton out there for 30. I mean, it helps when you're leading by 30 for a lot of the game. But yeah, it was definitely a fun game. I mean, I thought Isaac Okoro had a really nice game. I mean, some really
that one dunk he threw down with authority.
Yeah, he did.
He had back to back, I think.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And really, I love Isaac Okoro. Has the best facial expressions on the Cavs. Like, his just like, what the hell are you talking about look that he gives when refs make bad calls is like just one of my favorites. Like, he just has a really way of looking charming yet disgusted.
Yeah.
And I
gotta say, this is the first time I've seen him play, but Isaiah Hartenstein, man, that dude can ball.
He can.
Like, why? I know people said on the thread, because I was like, well, how come Denver didn't play this kid more? And they were like, well, two words, you know.
Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic. And I'm like, yeah, but they just traded for
Jared Allen and, yeah.
Well, but they just traded for a backup center. They just traded for JaVale McGee, right?
Yeah, JaVale McGee, that's what I mean.
Like, yeah. I love the way that JaVale McGee was playing, but this guy Hartenstein plays with grit, man. Like,
yeah,
somebody,
and he's 23, and the Cavs have his rights.
Yeah, and somebody on the thread was saying, like, he's like a he's like a 7 foot tall deli, and he really is. Like he,
yeah.
the dude just hustles his yeah. ass off. I mean, he had what did he have? He had 10.6 rebounds and assist in 16 minutes tonight. I mean,
yeah, and zero turnovers. No, and you didn't really see it this game, but the guy is a really good passer.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even say for his size. I mean, he's had, you know, 4 or 5 assist games, and he's been hitting, like, guys on diagonal cut passes off the dribble from the top of the key. He's a really, really talented offensive player.
You got to re-sign a guy like that, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
It feels like you got your backup center for the next the next 5 years, right? I mean,
yeah. Well, and to, you know, why he hadn't played in Denver and kind of hit the knock on him, he was a really good player from a per minute standpoint, but his foul rate was astronomical. It was something like 8 fouls per 100 possessions or something like that. I mean, it was
that makes sense.
You know, he was basically fouling out in 20 minutes of of game time. Every 20 minutes of game time, he was fouling out. And the really nice thing about the way he's played, the Cavs have really gotten his foul problem, you know, under control a little. And he's not, even when he first got here, he was committing a lot of crazy fouls, and that he's been a lot more disciplined about not just fouling as a, so it's been really good to see. He's definitely a lot of fun, and he's just athletic enough to, you know, catch those lob passes, but got a lot of strength, really good passer. Sets really good screens, got a bit of nasty in him, you know, real competitive, a decent shooter, you know, no problems with his touch at the line. It's really nice to see. He's a really nice counterpart to Jared Allen, too, who, while he's very tall, is a little willowy. And
that's one thing I felt like I hope if the Cavs do give him the $100 million contract that he spends some time in the offseason, you know, putting on some strength.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people have talked about the Cavs, you know, as Austin Carr would say, a little light in the britches between Garland and Sexton and Allen. And I think that's probably true, but it's got to be so hard to keep weight on with this NBA schedule that they have right now. Like, where you're playing 3 and 4 games a week, it's just... Like, I don't know how these guys are keeping weight on these guys that run the entire time, like Sexton and Garland. Like, they got to be on, you know, 4,000 calorie a day diets. I mean, it's just crazy because all this practice time plus the court time and keeping muscle on has got to be very difficult. So,
well, off season though, like, hopefully he's got some time to add some, because it feels like, I mean, barring something really unforeseen, they're gonna pay him, and then they're gonna probably pay Sexton. So, right? I mean,
oh, Jared Allen, yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere. And they're probably gonna pay Sexton. I mean,
Sexton, to his credit, looked like a mini Harden tonight, and not the Golden Turd version, but like the decent version of Harden.
No, and David's probably watched more than you, and I've watched probably more than David, but this is one of the better games I've seen Sexton play all season.
This is the best game.
Yeah, and a nice bounce back game from Garland, who David texted me before this game about the Detroit game where Garland was basically, what did you say he was playing like?
He was flypaper Kyrie 2.0. It was so bad. Like, I honestly thought about not watching the Cavs again the rest of the year after watching that game.
Wow. Yeah, it was that Detroit game was abysmal. That was the worst effort they made all season.
They had the game won and completely blew it at the end.
Yeah. And they had the game won, and after coming back being down over 20 in the first quarter, and it was a very odd box score because Colin Sexton, as soon as Sexton checked out in the first quarter, they just went in the tank. I mean, they were terrible. You know, one of the problems is that teams have figured out you can just sit on Delly or lay way off Delly and make him beat you with a three or scoring somehow. Which is why I think you've seen, you know, Torian Prince tonight a lot, initiating the offense more than
he was good at that.
He was good, and his shooting has been really, really good over, you know, 15 games or so. The problem is that he has some mind-numbing mental lapses. The last Bulls game was probably the worst I've seen Collins. The Bulls game before this game was the worst I've seen Colin Sexton defend all season, and Torian Prince was just as bad. I mean, Sexton was minus 29 that game. So it feels like this is the first game where everybody in a while where everybody had a good game at the same time.
Yeah, well, there wasn't a bad game to be had. Sorry, David, go ahead.
The offense looked way better. Like, they were running some nice pick and roll stuff. Like, they opened the game. Like, the first minute, they ran that, like, nice stagger screen with Allen and Love to get a three for Love.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, why not just do that every single time? Like, we were getting lobs all day. It was great.
Yeah. No, they Sexton had a couple of really nice lobs to Jared Allen.
Yeah, they made some nice adjustments this game, and it was nice to see. I'm trying to think of who else had a really good game. You know, Delly wasn't, the offense didn't fall off a cliff like it has been when the bench units were in, which was also really nice to see. You know, Larry Nance hitting his finishing around the basket helps with that a ton. You know, Hartenstein's hustle.
Yeah.
And the other thing that you've seen the last few games is Colin Sexton has rebounded and fought for loose balls a lot better than he has earlier. I think Chris CLF had posted something earlier this year that, like, Sexton was in the bottom 10% of the league in, you know, rebounding rate per position. And he's, you know, just one of the worst rebounding guards in the league, and he's definitely picked it up in the last. And Kevin Love being back, you know, 4 assists tonight, the touchdown passes.
Yeah.
That was an amazing pass. That was
a crazy pass.
That one to Sexton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Sexton, yeah. But, and you know, like, he's still a little bit slow. I mean, he definitely had a couple of blow-bys, but he seems to be getting better. I mean, look, it's just good to see him out on the floor contributing, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Then, the backcourt was great. They were super efficient. And, I mean, look, Garland pretty much put the game away with his...
Yeah, I mean, what was he? He was 4-4 on the game. Yeah, he needs to be... I mean, honestly, Garland should be taking 8 threes. Just...
If he's making them all, yeah.
His dribble game has improved so much, too.
Yeah, he's so under control.
Like, it's an insane difference, because last year he was like Mr. High Dribble all the time. He was getting excited with it.
Yeah, yeah. One of those instances tonight, but it was after hitting a couple shots.
Yeah, and he still gets a little turnover happy, but for where he is in his, he's still just on his development.
Based on tonight, it definitely felt to me like the Sexland.
Well, I think that helps when you're playing a guy in Garrett Temple that is, you know, 34 years old, and Kobe White, who's like 12 years old. So, although I guess he's not, because he looks like he's like 28. That huge
Kobe
beard.
White?
Yeah.
No, Kobe White's like only his like second or third year.
Yeah, he's the same draft class as Garland. Yeah, I mean, and Kobe White didn't have a terrible game, but he definitely isn't the toughest defensive matchup. You know, he's not going to lock you down.
Yeah. The guy I don't get is Denzel Valentine. I mean, that guy has flashes where you're like, oh, he seems unstoppable, and then he just disappears, and he certainly can't. So.
Yeah, I mean, you see that, and then you look down, and he was 4 of 10 for 9 points and minus 16. It's like,
well, I know.
Yeah, and that it feels like the Bulls have a lot of those guys. You know,
the Bulls are a weird team. They're a very weird team. And the moves they made at the deadline, like to pick up Vooch.
I thought they were great moves, and they have totally backfired.
Yeah. I thought they were, I thought they were headed to succeed with it.
And Tice. And
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's weird that they're bringing Markkanen off the bench. I don't know.
I think those moves really screwed up their chemistry, too. And not having Zach LaVine, you know, clearly their best player, certainly hurt them.
Did the Cavs trade Damian Dotson to the...
No.
No, they have another Dotson.
Yeah, they have Devon Dotson.
I'm trying to find out if they're brothers now. I just noticed that, too.
Wow. Yeah. No, yeah, the Bulls are definitely a weird roster of, like, old vets, like Satoransky and yeah, they've got all the Nate Smith vets, Satoransky and Thad Young and Al-Farouq Aminu, and then they've got, like, all these weird super young players. Garrett Temple is another Nate Smith guy, you know, another guy I've liked for forever. Even Vucevic, I've always liked. And of course, you know, he's been a kind of a turd since they got him. Although I thought the guy that I thought looked really intriguing tonight was Patrick Williams had some really nice moments. But then you look down and you realize, how's this guy only take four shots?
Yeah.
You know, it's like
he's like a Coro.
Yeah, that's like a good comp, like a longer one.
Well, he was taken right the pick before Okoro, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was nice seeing Okoro kind of take. He took like a real dumb shot, and
I'm like, you were happy he took a dumb shot?
Well, because Okoro he always defers.
It. He always does the right thing.
Yeah, he always defers. He's almost unselfish to a fault at times.
There's something to be said for that, though. I mean, look, and by the way, if your backcourt is shooting 7 of 9 on 3-pointers, like, that the right move is to pass.
True. Yeah,
when they're shooting 1 of 15.
I think David's just happy he's going against his tendencies a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, expanding his game, trying to.
Well, now's the time to do it. Yeah. And I think what probably inspired him to do it tonight was the fact that that Greg Buckner took over.
Buck.
And Coach Buck is really just, I think, really just the difference maker in general for the Cavaliers. I mean, he is pretty much undefeated at this point, so.
Yeah, he's got the best winning percentage in the NBA right now.
Yeah, I mean, if he retired tomorrow, like, no one would ever beat him. So
exactly.
If only we were a major city and this is what they were going to talk about tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll talk about it. I'll call into the radio show.
I got nothing better to do. You're going to get up that early to call into Cleveland Morning Radio?
No, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not going to take that abuse either. So.
Yeah,
I was surprised. I was like kind of looking at Twitter a little bit and saw some of the morning people tweeting about the game. When I listen to the morning shows, I'm like, these people don't watch the games, do they? But Anthony Lyman
typically
was
they don't. Yeah, yeah. Typically they. Yeah, no. I saw Zach Jackson looking at it too. He made some comment about Cavs. This Cavs DePaul game is not very exciting.
Yeah, that's a good. That's actually an underrated tweet.
Yeah.
No, it was an interesting game. I think.
Oh, I totally forgot about this too. So apparently, and I gotta find the tweet. But what's his name? Garland is now the fastest Cav to 200 3-pointer ahead of Kyrie, Sexton, and Booby Gibson. So it took him
at least in terms of
107. It took him to 107 games.
Okay.
Kyrie was 121 games. Sexton was 140 and 140.
So Garland's only played 107 games.
Yeah,
that's so weird. And it's just and it's not like it's just these two seasons are the weirdest in NBA in the last 50 years in the NBA. I mean,
yeah. Well, just, they're the weirdest two seasons of sports
in United States history. Yeah.
Yeah.
Since World War II, basically. it's super weird. But so, you know, seriously, you know, you've watched a lot of Cavs this year. What's your take on JB Bickerstaff, David? Is stay or go?
I don't even know. I don't know what this team's trying to do because it seems like we're trying to tank most of the time.
Right.
But then sometimes we aren't even able to tank. So, like, I kind of worry about that, but then I'm like, if we are trying to tank, then what are we trying to do? Because, like, the offense looks like some 90s stuff a lot of times. We don't take enough threes.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, it's infuriating. Like, well, that Detroit game, watching Kevin Love post up, like, 6 times makes no sense. And then all of us witnessed the Drummond like, he's some Hakeem Olajuwon again.
Yeah, there was a game earlier this season where they literally took 0 3-pointers in the first half.
Yeah, it's
well, they took
absurd.
36 tonight.
There you go.
I know. Tonight we looked like we had like a normal offensive like kind of spread, and the team looked good.
Yeah, like, I just don't know what to make of JB Bickerstaff. Like sometimes I think he's great at, you know, being the guy you want to be the face of your franchise, you know, says all the right things, really kind of an inspirational person when he talks, and the players seem to like him, and, you know, he emphasizes the right things, but then you see them run the same, like, sets with zero off-ball action, you know, two straight quarters, and they're just so easy to defend, or you see the one that drove me nuts in the Detroit game was they had 5 minutes because of a coach's challenge at the end of the game to draw up an out-of-bounds play on the baseline. And, of course, we've complained all year about baseline out-of-bounds plays. They ran the same stupid play where they have the center out there on the wing and they curl the two guards off him and then they pass it over the top to the center. They've literally run that every out of bounds play on the baseline all season, and they ran it again with like 5 minutes to prep for a possession where they absolutely needed a bucket. And I just wanted to throw my remote through my TV. I'm like, what is that? Those are those points where David talks about. It's like, are they trying to tank? Because when you watch something like that, it sure feels like it.
I mean, the team could be really bad that it took them 5 minutes to explain the play to them again.
Like, yeah, I don't know.
If they want to tank, they should. Make sure Bickerstaff comes back as soon as...
Yeah, so do you not like Bickerstaff, or are you just being hyperbolic?
Oh, I'm being hyperbolic, but look, I mean, I like when Bickerstaff talks. I think he's a smart guy, but you know, I mean, I think you can always shake things up. There's always room, you know, to find... I mean, look at the Knicks. I mean, they went out and hired Thibodeau finally, and now they're actually a, kind of a decent team. The coach has a lot to do with it. If you've got a coach who's got a plan, I think you can really, you know, make some noise. And I just don't think the Cavs have had a coach who's had a plan, I don't know, since, what, Lenny Wilkins? Mike Fratello?
Mike Fratello. Probably a fair one.
No, I mean, look, they had LeBron, who doesn't need a coach for, I mean, he needs somebody to check his ego, maybe like Ty Lue could do. But like, the truth is, you know, they haven't really had a coach for a long time. So in that case, like, it'd be nice to have, especially with a young team like this, with guys. I mean, there's nobody on the Cavs. Look, Kevin Love was a star. He's not really anymore.
No, there's
Jared,
no star.
Jared Allen is maybe a budding star if you built an offense around him. You know, Colin Sexton is a scorer. I don't know if he's a star. He's a star. He's not a superstar. You know, and who knows? I mean, the jury's sort of still out on Garland. I mean, he definitely seems to be trending in the right direction. But you know, but who knows? I mean,
Okoro, unless he makes a big leap, feels like, you know, Okoro feels like a defensive high level starter.
Yeah, he feels like a defensive specialist starter. He's like he's the who's that guy who used to play for San Antonio? He used to lock people
Bruce
down on the wing.
Bowen.
Yeah, he's Bruce Bowen, and
he's definitely a better offensive player than Bruce Bowen. Although Bowen got really good at corner threes,
he was a good 3-pointer.
Well, and that's what they clearly wanted. What they want Okoro to do is just be the guy who can knock down, you know, corner threes when he's called upon, and the rest of the time just play, you know, A-plus defense. So, yeah, that's what it feels like right now. And the truth is, you know, if you've got that, then the rest of it's, I mean, they're a perfect team to have a coach who could put his stamp on that on the team and say, like, this is what we're going to do. Like, this is how we're going to play. And there's just not that many of those guys out there, honestly. It's Scotty Brooks.
No, I got the guy for it. We need Scott Stiles. Or Scott Skiles. How do you say his name?
Scott Skiles. No.
Yeah,
so
I think the only clear answer really is Greg Buckner.
It's Greg Buck.
I think Greg Buck. Coach Buck is the way to go. Although, if they just scheduled their games on Wednesdays, I think they would be really. They might win the championship, because, as Nomad pointed out tonight, the Cavs are 8-4 on Wednesdays right now. So, If they played Wednesdays, they'd be like 55-24, I think. And, you know,
the Cavs are the masters of getting over the hump.
I hope Nomad figured that out himself.
I think he must have. I haven't seen that stat posted anywhere.
I haven't seen that dropped.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Did you guys, he's really good at counting beers, so.
Did you guys have the Cavs feed or the Bulls feed?
I had the Cavs feed. I always had the Cavs feed.
I wish I would have had it. I was just streaming it, and I had the Bulls feed. But the Bulls have the same kind of, like, depressing, like, Cavs pace. At times, they're like, well, you know, if the Bulls cut this down to 20 points here in the next 5 minutes, they really got a shot tonight. Like, I'm talking about how this isn't even the biggest lead a team's had on them this year. But it was kind of like nice being on the other side, being like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is interesting to listen to the other feed a lot of times. I will say, but I really enjoy the local commercials and the kind of ridiculous things the Cavs do, like the bumper music coming in from the fourth quarter, this like whatever horrible thing that it could figure out. And that, and I did not come to play, I came to dominate is my almost all-time favorite. Like, my buddy, his son is 3, and that's his favorite thing to sing just walking around the house. He'll just be like, I did not come to play. I came to dominate.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. And of course, in my house, it's like we'll be playing Yahtzee, and I'll be like, I did not come to play. I came to roll an 8.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that crazy, speaking of dominating, you see that crazy Embiid shot, 85-foot shot that almost took the game to overtime tonight?
No.
I did not. That is crazy.
Dude, check that out. It rattled. He threw it. He literally rebounded the ball and threw it basically from the painted area on the one end of the floor. And it went, it hit the backboard, went kind of rattled in and out of the, from 85 feet.
It was like the old
game.
It was like the old NBA Jam shot.
Yeah, honestly, it was insane. I couldn't believe it. It was like if that had gone in, that would have been the shot of the year.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, that's almost like I mean, not maybe half that length, but that Jalen Suggs play to win to get Gonzaga to the finals was kind of that level of crazy shot.
Is Suggs in the top 5 of this draft?
He's in the top 5 for sure.
So it could be a Cav.
I mean, it's really interesting the way this draft shakes out is, you know, the Cavs really probably more than any other position need a 3. And there are definitely some 3s at the, you know, near the top of this, but there's also a good bit of guards and bigs, and it's like, no matter who they draft at this point, they have, unless they get a kind of a natural 3, they kind of have to displace somebody from their rotation. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out because, you know, Garland and Sexton, they've really just kind of slotted in, and that worked out, and Okoro worked out too because, you know, they could play him at the 3. Well, no matter what they do this coming year, somebody's going to have to sit either the guy they draft or, you know, one of the guys they've already drafted, or like a Kevin Love or a Jared Allen.
Well, they're not going to pay Jared Allen and or Sexton $100 million to sit on the bench. So.
Oh yeah, I'm with you. I mean, my take on it is you'd be better off letting Sexton get to restricted free agency. You say that, and if he keeps playing like he did tonight, maybe that isn't the right decision. It's hard to say.
How much money? It would be like probably $45 million tied up in those guys. We sign them
close,
for
yeah, probably
for a year?
Like
yeah,
probably yeah, 20 that, for Allen and 25 for Sexton.
I don't know if I'd want.
I mean, really I feel wax like and we wane
have,
on.
We have to,
but it feels like it's gonna happen, right?
It feels like an eventuality. Yeah, I mean, I really go back and forth with Allen. I really loved him when he first came, and then he was so bad. Coming out of the All-Star break, it was like he sat on that couch for a month or for a week and a half and did nothing because it took him 2 solid weeks to get back into game shape, it felt like. It was really weird, and he hasn't been the same player that he was kind of before that All-Star.
Yeah.
And that's been really odd. But I was going to say earlier that the guy that I really think the Cavs will look at and should look at, but probably don't have a chance to get him because he's going to be the hottest coaching commodity in the offseason is the
Tom Izzo.
Well, after
I'm joking.
Him,
I'm joking.
After
I'm joking.
Him. I mean, obviously, Dan has an in there. Didn't they paid like $100 million. They paid an obscene amount of money to be the Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, Alex Jensen, who's the top assistant for the Jazz. And was
the guy they should have hired the first time around, right?
Yeah, and he was the
original. He was in the mix before they hired Boeheim.
Yes, he was. And he was the original coach of the Canton Charge. You know,
but is he better than Gregory Buchner? I don't know.
That's well, he certainly doesn't have as cool of a nickname.
It's true.
But Coach I Buck. Will say there are no, you know, Milwaukee Jensens in the NBA. So that could be confusing when they play the Bucks.
That's true.
You know, that's an issue.
No, Jensen by all rights seems the kind of the hot.
Yeah, and if there's anything the Cavs need is to run a faster, you know, more dynamic NBA offense. And that's kind of what they built in Utah. So it'd be interesting to see how that shakes out. And you know,
he's going to be a Utah lifer, I think.
Jensen? No.
Yeah. He's very Mormon.
I don't think that matters. Well, he was actually in the mix to be the Utes coach. And then he withdrew his name, and I think his agent probably got to him and said, hey, you'll probably be the most valuable coaching commodity in the offseason. Maybe you should wait and wait for better offers in the offseason. But I think he'll go somewhere. But I did not know that he was that tied to Utah.
Yeah, I just looked him up. He went to college there, and he even took time off to do the mission stuff they do. Yeah.
Well, I don't think that would preclude him from being the Cavs coach, but who knows? I don't know.
He'll probably be the next Celtics coach after the president. Brad Stevens.
Yeah, he'll be like, you know, Prime Minister or Alex Jensen. That was lame. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just thinking about like how the Celtics can't win, you know, can't even get close in the East.
I don't understand the moves they've made, you know, forever. But, you know, I was getting in an argument with somebody on Twitter the other day, which is literally the
biggest... You get in arguments on Twitter?
I know. It's so hard to believe. It's literally the biggest waste of time in human existence, is arguing with people on Twitter. But it was funny because I basically was like, you know, Colin Sexton was awful. He was minus 29 in the Bulls game before this. And then somebody posted a thing about how Danny Ainge said... that single game plus minus is the stupidest stat in the NBA, and I wish they wouldn't even publish it. And my retort was, you literally want to take the word of the worst GM in the Eastern Conference as, as you know, your advocate here. It's just, what a fraud that guy is. And talk about frauds. Bob Myers, how that guy is not getting more crap for wasting one of the best seasons we've seen from a player, you know, in Steph Curry, in all, you know, a guy who is literally a top 25 all-time NBA player, still putting up prime numbers and just has put an absolute garbage team around him. How Bob Myers isn't getting more shit, I have no idea. Like,
Well, doesn't he still get the Klay Thompson pass or no?
I don't feel like what could he have done?
Wiggins.
He could have traded. He's got all this draft capital. He's got.
I guess that Minnesota pick.
He's got that Minnesota pick. He's got the possibility of his own pick. He's got Well, after they whiffed on LaMelo Ball and took Wiseman instead, who so far looks like a total stiff, it's like, you know, you could have traded that number two pick and probably got off Andrew Wiggins and probably got an all-star. You know, I think Josh Gordon could have been had for, you know, James Wiseman easily, and Gordon's looking like
Aaron Gordon,
yeah, he's looking like a steal for Denver. I mean, I don't know how he gets a pass for, because there's a ton of things he could have done, you know.
I guess, but yeah, he didn't do them. I didn't realize they do have a lot of draft stuff, but I feel like Curry's a hard. That's a hard team to build like a championship group around at this point.
I think
Draymond was at such a high level when they won.
Well, he's still, yeah, but you literally, if your whole team right now is Steph and Draymond, you can't do anything with that, because Draymond's a guy who's going to give you, you know, one good offensive game out of four, and probably
Kelly Oubre Jr.
three defensive games out of that. Like, how do you not put a better team around that guy?
They have Gary Payton II.
There's a lot of guys.
They still got Kevon Looney. Come on now.
Yeah,
Ken Bazemore.
Yeah. Is this team better or worse than
Mark,
the Iverson
Mark
team
Spooky
that went
Mulder?
To the finals?
Come on.
Which team?
The Warriors? The one when they traded. Yeah, this Warriors team.
Oh, when they traded Iverson for, finals team was underrated. They were a really good defensive team.
I didn't really get basketball that much back then.
I don't think basketball got basketball that much back then. There was a. That was back before illegal defense, wasn't
it? Well, yeah, Eric Snow is still playing, so
yeah,
probably.
What year was that? 2006?
No, 2003.
2003, I thought. God, we are the laziest podcasters on the planet.
I know. We're like, that sounds right.
That sounds
That's
right.
Good.
Back
That's
in
good.
Diddy Odd 6.
Yeah.
It was 2001. So, yeah, they didn't.
Yeah. You now Iverson would have to be so much better of a passer. And they did have Korver.
Oh, you think Iverson would have to be a better passer? I think Iverson would light it up.
Oh, I think he would now, but he'd have to pass more. Let me put it that way.
Did LaFlama Blanco retire? Did I miss that?
I don't believe he officially retired, but no.
Oh, so he's not playing on the Bucks.
Or for Buckner.
Well, people should be so lucky to play.
Are you talking about Korver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's signed to the Bucks right now.
I don't think so.
I'm pulling up the contract. We got hot Google in action.
I love it. I mean, it's not Tom doing his hot blue key action, but
click, 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 click.
Still.
Click. Oh, no,
clack,
you guys are right.
Clack.
His last season was 2019. I know. I don't have that gaming keyboard.
You need that.
Yeah.
That in your life.
I still say my all-time favorite podcast was the one we were doing the Stephen Hawking voice.
Not the Gutterbot 3000?
No, Gutterbot 3000 was great, but no, the Stephen Hawking voice when...
Oh, that's true.
I can't remember who didn't have audio.
I didn't. You guys were just... I was just typing things, yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a good podcast.
Fun. Okay, so did you see that Kevin Porter Jr. violated NBA health and safety protocols with a strip club visit?
It was the strip club, at least. And he's in Houston.
Yeah, but it says that...
He's trying to be like James Harden.
He went with teammate Sterling Brown and resulted in Brown being assaulted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how that happened?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that's how that happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, so...
They were at a strip club at 6:53 a.m. on Monday.
The guy is trying to be like James Harden. What do you want more from him?
6:53 a.m. on a Monday.
That's like, remember Varsity Blues, where they stumble.
By the way, honestly, I don't care what kind of numbers he puts up. They were right to get rid of that guy.
Oh, I'm with you. I think here's the thing: if they don't do that and he, you know, crashes his car into a tree and, you know, mangles himself or dies.
Again, you mean?
Well, I mean, instead of what happened. I mean, and it's not like, let's be honest, he's not setting the world on fire. down in Houston. He is averaging...
He's got good stats.
16 points, 6 assists, but he's also only shooting 29% from three and only 42% from the field. It's not like... And he has carte blanche to pretty much do whatever he wants for a horrible team. So, right. I don't think he's the end-all be-all, but I'm with you. I think they had to get him. They had to let him. I mean, if this is the kind of stuff he's pulling in his second stint, you know...
He needs help. It's kind of sad.
Well, he needs to grow up.
He's 20.
Well, I'm with you. I'm saying...
Dude, even when I was a 20, moron even when I was 20, I was... Even when I was 20, I was not at a strip club at 6:50
Monday. That's the best.
If you had $1 million,
like who are the women that are working at 5 a.m. on a Monday morning?
Yeah, it's Houston, brutal. Though.
I don't even know what that means. What does that mean, David?
Houston has like the best strip clubs in the country.
No. Not
it's like they definitely Houston have the best Vegas. massage therapists, right?
Oh,
just ask Deshaun.
I'm lost.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah, too soon. Yeah. I didn't know of which Deshaun to which you referred.
Until he gets suspended, it's not too soon, I guess.
Yeah, well, no.
Deshaun Stevenson was a Texan.
I think that's true. I've always heard it was Atlanta had the best clubs, but Atlanta, maybe that's Houston. Just because of the Gold Club trial. You know, the legend of the Gold Club trial.
I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
Either way, if I had $1 million at that age, I would do some really dumb stuff.
Yeah, but would you do as dumb? Would you be at a strip club at 6:53 morning on a Monday?
Okay, so I'm going to guess.
No one would have known because there wouldn't have been Twitter back then.
That's true. Or camera phones.
Yeah, that's the thing that screws all these guys.
Yeah.
It's see, like all the everybody's all these watching guys, all the time.
All these guys need to just get like Nokia brick phones. Throw it back.
It doesn't matter because everybody else has them.
Well, they think you're like a time something crazy.
I think the strippers in Houston have body cams anyway, so.
Naval cam.
Yeah.
Might be on something there.
We've gotten way off topic. Sorry. I didn't mean to derail
but I'm,
us.
I'm with you. I think
with the Kevin Porter Jr. talk.
No, I don't think the Cavs missed out anything that's going to change them. I think,
but at least they get like a 2050 second round pick, right?
Maybe I don't even know something ridiculous that might convey.
So my, you know, there's a guy I follow on Twitter, and I kind of believe his take that Houston released Broderick Thomas. Who's on the Cavs now on a two-way contract, and I kind of feel that Broderick Thomas was the secret part of the Kevin Porter trade.
The player to be named later in cash.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He was the player to be named, as Crash Davis once opined. Yeah. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
What movie?
Bull Durham.
I've never seen it.
You've never seen Bull Durham? That's a really good movie. Like,
it's a baseball movie, though, right?
It is. You don't like baseball movies?
I don't understand.
You don't understand baseball?
Right. I mean, I obviously get the general concept of baseball, and like I know the rules, but like I don't understand it enough to appreciate it. I just watch it and I'm all I can think is...
When you say you don't understand, do you not also understand the appeal? Is it just...
Yeah, it doesn't really appeal. When I was younger, I was really into baseball, like, but it was just because the home run era. Was like when I was like 8 years old, probably.
Sosa versus McGuire.
Yeah, I distinctly remember that. But I don't get like when I hear people that I know that are super into it that talk about like pitching matchups and stuff. I'm like, oh, like there's clearly something to this, but I just never got into it.
I mean, that's a good question. Right. Has baseball become a niche sport? It almost feels like it has.
This is my hot take. If you're paid $13 million, you should hit the ball more than half the time. Which everyone gets so mad about, but I'm like, if someone told me all I have to do is hit the ball half the time and I'm that much money, I would figure it out.
David, you don't change. Don't ever change. Have you followed the Indians much Yeah. EG.
Yeah.
What, they are around 500, aren't they? Or are they yeah. below that?
No, they're exactly 500.
Oh, okay.
And they got snowed out today. So.
Yeah, that was wild. No, it's the Indians are an interesting team. I'm really hoping that we have positivity for the team in the org.
Well, I mean, forward. To be 500 and have the lowest payroll in baseball by like $30 million, that's pretty good, I guess.
I think I'm more thinking long term from a sustainability standpoint. I've heard some
yeah, but
bad
here's the thing.
Rumblings.
Here's the thing. I think. Look, the Mickey Callaway thing was a black eye. I think you know that I like Frank Kona. Probably been around too. They probably need somebody in there who can, you know, reset. And the fact that they just keep turning out these young pitchers really speaks to their pitching staff and their
Pipeline for pitching is
pipeline.
Amazing.
But here's the thing: we're never going to pay Francisco Lindor anywhere close to
what he's paid. I'm with you there. My more concerning thing is I've been hearing rumblings of, you know, the team moving, which really
that's not going to happen.
You don't think
why would they move the? Where would they move?
I don't know. That lady said that if
that lady
you says might have they they're going to move her to move the team to Tampa.
Tampa has a team.
This is the plot of Major League.
They already have
the plot of Major League, yeah, David.
Oh, I got you. Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that in a long time.
Yeah. No,
they're not going to move the team.
The plot of Major League. I was trying to be funny.
That's funny.
Going over.
They won't move the team.
The other thing I don't understand about baseball is, like, if they can just spend as much money as they want, then how is this? They need to have two leagues, because it seems like the Indians just give away all their good players because they don't want to pay them.
They need to be like soccer, where you get relegated.
Yeah, like I just remember the thing that really turned me off the Indians was like it was a year I forget which baseball team made the finals or World Series or whatever. But like two of our pitchers, like CeCe, and then crap, I can't think of the other dude. He kind of looked like a redneck.
Cliff Lee,
yeah. We're like going off against each other in the World Series, and they were on our team that year.
Yeah, but that's just the way it goes, man. I mean, it's baseball. The because there's no salary cap, it will always be the haves and have-nots. The Indians will always be. They figured out. I mean, they're arguably the most well-run Cleveland franchise, really, the last decade or so. Just because, maybe two, because they find a way to thread
at the very
the
least of the last 5 years.
Well, they find the way to thread the needle.
Yeah.
You know, they do. I mean, obviously, one doesn't give them any. So what they do is they have hired smart guys and stay out of the way. And so, you know, these guys look they've. People may not always agree with the trades that they keep getting value. Like they traded away Corey Kluber maybe a year too late, but they still got Emmanuel Clase, who's like a guy that throws 100 mile an hour bowling, you know, to present. I don't know. I mean, meanwhile, Corey Kluber's got a 5 or 6 ERA pitching for the Yankees and hasn't won a game. So who knows? I don't know.
Is it true? So I pulled up the cap thing. MLB, our payroll's really $50 million. And then the Dodgers is $250 million?
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
That's insane.
No, I mean, it is. It is amazing that that can even happen.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are the best team.
Well, they should
be. Right now they are.
Yeah. I don't get baseball either,
but
David.
By the way, Francisco Lindor is not worth $300.
No, he's not. And he was he wasn't very good last season.
I agree.
No,
I agree.
And I think almost all these position players that they've given these huge contracts to, almost every team has regretted it. I mean, aside from, you know, Mike Trout. It's pretty much the exception to that. But
you are now listening to Tribe the Blog.
Tribe the Blog. There you go. Anyway. So back to the Cavs. What do you think the Cavs do the rest of the way? What? How many games we got left?
Wait, here? What do they do or what should they do?
Well, give me both.
I think what they do is find a way to lose enough games.
Oh, I don't think they're going to get into the play-in game because...
That's what I think they do. Well, they're only 4 games back.
Yeah, but the...
But they have a tough schedule coming up.
Yeah, the schedule of the last 10 games is...
Yeah. Not good. And really, that's what they should do. Well, now that I think about it. I mean, they should. I mean, look, I hope they play hard. I hope they play like they did and they lose some close games. Instead of,
yeah.
You know, and I hope they continue to build a culture. And I hope they replace Coach Bickerstaff with, but if that is failing that, I hope that they put themselves in a position, you know, they have the luxury. I mean, look, I'd love, it'd be great if that whoever they pick up actually has to win playing time in camp, just being given playing time, like the last three.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. How many games are they? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. 14 games left. That was hot counting action on Cavs' blog.
That was hot counting.
The next two are against Orlando and Washington.
How many games are on Wednesday? How many on Wednesday?
I'm sorry. They have 17. How many Wednesday games? They have
one. Wait, you miscount? You somehow miscounted the amount of games they have left?
Yeah, because I'm an idiot.
I have to double check this now.
They have 3 Wednesday games left.
All right. So we know they're at least going to go 24 and what?
14 and 3. At least 3 and 14, rather.
Yeah.
So, no worries. Yeah, and the Hornets, and everybody they're playing is, you know, going forward, gunning for a playoff spot.
I don't think the Hornets are that good without Ball.
They're not, but they're still gunning for the playoffs.
No, Ball's coming back.
Yeah, and Ball's coming back, like, next week.
Man, he won't
and talk about a guy I was wrong on. That guy is really fun to watch.
We only have 14 games left.
17. Or you?
No. Wait. We won 21 and we've lost 37. This is 58. Isn't the game 72 this year?
Oh.
Or the season only 70? Wait, maybe the season.
You were right the first time, Nate. There's only 14.
I'm an idiot. 3-11. That's their best. That's what they need to go. They'll win the Wednesday games and they'll lose the rest.
Yeah. Fortunately for us, we have the Raptors. Like, the Raptors are right by us. They're going to probably finish a little bit stronger.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's three games against Washington, and they seem to be on a mission.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna beat Washington, because they really want to win, and we'll probably be trying to tank. So we'll beat Washington.
And then two against Dallas, back-to-back.
Yeah.
I mean,
Brooklyn's going to be resting everybody that last
game. It'll be the Joe Harris revenge game.
Dallas might not give a crap either, though. I don't know how.
No,
how close
Dallas
the West is.
Wants.
No, Dallas is off, Dallas is fighting for to stay out of the play-in game.
Yeah, and
I don't know how close.
Dallas's problem at this point is they've got to convince Luka to stay. So.
Oh, you think Luka's already trying to get out?
No, I don't think he's already trying to get out. But if you are missing the playoffs. You know what I'm saying?
How many years did it take LeBron to make the playoffs?
It's a different world, David. Oh. Not every team is the Milwaukee Buckners.
But, see, this is what I don't understand about these young stars. They want their teams to kind of, like, bust it right away when they get them, and then nothing happens because they don't have any money to do, and they just have a bunch of washed-up guys around them. Like, I mean, I get where Luka's coming from. I wouldn't want to play with J.J. Redick and Kristaps Porzingis like there has been.
I don't know.
Wait, isn't Kristaps Porzingis his countryman?
Doesn't mean anything.
Should.
No, Kristaps Porzingis is Lithuanian. He's Serbian.
I thought he was German.
No, Porzingis is Lithuanian. He's Serbian.
So there could
neither,
be
and neither, so neither one of them is German? Jeez, I was way off.
But yeah, it's
both, no, he's Slovenian. Crowds. Sorry, he's Slovenian.
It's like the crowds. New Orleans is doing it too with Zion. They need to just be patient.
New Orleans has issues because
David Griffin is there,
and they have the hedgehog.
They do have the hedgehog.
Well, they do have the hedgehog.
Angry hedgehog.
Yeah. I don't know. Who do you like right now in the playoffs? I don't want to go through a whole big thing, but who do you like right now to, you know, if you just had to say, hey, this team's going to come out of the East, who are your teams?
Well, all right, you go first, CG.
No, you go first.
Oh, all right. I think for the East, it's either going to be Philly or the Bucks.
Oh, no way. Playoff Bud is unfeated.
It's fine. Third time's a charm. And then for
third
for the,
time.
Uh, Or fourth. It might be the fourth now.
I think it might be seven.
It's the fourth with the Bucks.
All right, so four times the charm with the Bucks.
No, like the eighth, because there was the four times with the Hawks, too. So, like,
yeah, at least
eighth
three,
times
yeah.
the charm. Eighth times the charm.
Well, okay. But for the West, I think it's going to be Denver or the Clippers.
Not after Murray went down.
The rest of the really stepping up, though.
Yeah, I think that helps, but the playoffs, you need a bucket get.
All right.
We got Aaron Gordon and Austin Rivers on that team.
Oh, boy.
This is the thing, though.
And JaVale McGee. Don't forget JaVale McGee.
They've got JaVale McGee, but here's the thing. So you have Michael Porter Jr., Austin Rivers, and then Aaron Gordon. All three of those guys, like, the team's competent enough where Jokic will win them two games, but those three guys are all guys that are capable. It's like, oh, crap, they won a game. Like, yeah. They kind of brought in, like, high variability guys, but I think it could work out for them. And then maybe. I just think the Clippers are kind of loaded. I think that the Lakers, it's just not their injuries and everything. Like, I'm sure LeBron will come back super strong, but AD is not going to come back like that.
I don't know. AD's coming back the next game.
Yeah, but it's AD.
And the Lakers have low-key played really well without
That's because they're better without them.
Honestly, what? I'm not going to bet against LeBron until LeBron is dead.
So. Or retired at the very least.
Yes.
I mean, LeBron will probably end up in the finals, but...
I'm going with the Jazz out. I just feel like it's their year.
Oh, come on.
I'm going with the Jazz.
Jazz is tough.
If Donovan Mitchell gets him a title, that gives us more justification to pay Sexton the max. Oh,
God, I hate that comp. I know you're just trolling me, David.
I am. Well, every time people bring that up, I'm like, I don't get it. And then I try to reframe my thinking, like, all right, Colin Sexton might be a shooting guard. And I see Donovan Mitchell play. I'm like, these are not the same position.
Out of the East, I think it's going to be.
Harden's
I think it's
going to
really depend on the health and the hamstring, Harden, and because Kyrie can't carry that team.
No, I'm with you.
Harden's out like indefinitely.
Yeah, he is out indefinitely. But I
think with
Durant and KD,
you guys are all wrong. The team that's coming out of the East is the Miami Heat.
I would love it if the Heat came out.
They're in the play-in game right now, but. Who knows?
No,
they get
seventh.
Out again.
They're seventh.
Right, that's a play-in game.
No, the play-in game is the 8-9-10.
No, not
7-8-9-10.
Yeah, oh, it is 7-8-9-10? Oh, okay.
Yeah, because there has to be four teams.
Okay, they're a half game behind the Celtics, who are in a free fall.
EG getting passionate.
Well, I'm just saying, because the Heat started in such
to
a
see
hole.
Boston
oh, I want to see Boston. I want to see Boston go to the play-in game and lose.
So, it's really weird. It's a weird season for sure. I don't know how
I'm just saying,
this play-in
if you
game.
Think about
I feel
it,
like
if
it's
you think about it,
teams at the very bottom like tank even harder. But if you look at a team like Orlando, they're absolutely decimated by injuries. This team, and then they sold half the team. Like, I don't know how they could even be any better than, you know, they're giving Mo Bamba minutes again.
He needs but,
yeah, it's a weird
though.
Year. And then you got OKC who just owns like a third of the draft picks for the next 10 years. And
hear me out, though. So all I was saying was I think it's the Heat. What's underrated about the Heat is that they start off the year in a really big hole, and now they've almost overtaken the Hawks in the Southeast. And they're really only a half game out of sixth place, which would be out of the play-in game. And they're really only a game and a half out of fourth place. So I'm just saying, I think that they have with Bam and a healthy Jimmy Butler and, you know, Tyler Harrow and picking up what's his name from the Rockets? It was a sneaky good move.
Oladipo.
So, yeah, Oladipo. I don't know. I think they got to the finals last year. I don't know. I have a feeling it could wind up being a Heat Lakers rematch.
And maybe we're sleeping on the Sixers, but I just don't love Daryl Morey teams that depend on getting fouled in the playoffs.
And the Cavs beat them twice this year, right?
At least once. I can't remember. At least once.
On a Wednesday, probably.
Probably on a Wednesday.
You guys don't like Philly at all?
No, I hate Philly.
They just play for fouls too much from what I've watched, and I think it's too easy to scheme around Ben Simmons in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, that's...
Sorry I cut you off there, David. Had some technical difficulties.
No, but what's their starting lineup is Danny Green, what's his name, Matisse Thybul, Shake Milton, and then Embiid and Simmons, right?
Well, and Butler, Butler,
Harris. Yeah, he's not been healthy though.
Yeah, I'm with you, EG. There's too many guys on that team with too big of flaws in the playoffs. Like,
look, if the Nets are healthy, they're definitely coming out of the East.
I'm with you. Yeah,
but they got
to
be
too
healthy.
Hard to beat.
Yeah, I hate the Nets.
Who doesn't hate the Nets? I don't think
Kyrie can handle going through a full postseason. Like,
I think the postseason's probably a less of a grind than this regular season. To be honest with you, you're guaranteed you're playing every other game and not.
Oh, I just
mean and not as much travel.
I mean, in the sense that people are just going to talk about him more. He seems like he has something going on. Like, he's always dealing with weird personal leaves and stuff.
Well, that's what happens when you're very much woke.
When you're very much woke, David.
Yeah. Well, Kyrie might be a bit too woke for the playoffs.
Oh, that's a hot take. Well, and then you've got the league's second most insufferable diva is like they have the three most insufferable guys in the NBA on the same team.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant. Should we talk about the Kevin Durant beefs on Twitter?
Oh, with Michael Rappaport.
First off, how did Kevin Durant not get more heat for what he was saying? Because that was
I think because it's Michael Rappaport.
Yeah, and also it was on a Wednesday.
That's true. But also, like, at this point, I'm like, should I make a Twitter just pretending I'm, like, some 9-year-old and then try to beef with Kevin Durant? Because, like, he probably would.
No, the guy has no, you know, self-awareness. And then you add other ridiculous people on that team. Blake Griffin, who is somehow now the quote-unquote glue guy on that team. Which is just nuts.
Meaning that he's ready to go to the glue factory. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, and then I actually feel really bad for LaMarcus Aldridge.
Who that's terrible.
Retired very suddenly, but also
at least
happy
he took
that
care
he,
of himself.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I respect the decision. And then of course they've got DeAndre Jordan, who is another just notorious NBA head case. And then, you know, it is a weird team. Like, Jeff Green is the stable one of them.
Yeah.
Uncle Jeff.
And he's been playing well.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, look, I just say...
He and KD, the last two Sonics in the league.
That's true. I don't know. I just think... the two guys that feel like they're just take it to another level are LeBron in the West and Jimmy Butler in the East. Those are the guys that can put a team on their shoulders and just carry them. So,
yeah, I think KD's on that list too, and those are
when he's healthy.
Yeah, when he's healthy and when his head's on straight. But I'm with you on Miami. I think if things break right for Miami, they could. I think one of the things that's hurting Miami right now is, you know, Olynyk is probably Oladipo's not all he was cracked up to be.
He's injured too.
Yeah, well, he hasn't been able to be healthy, and if you look at the numbers that Olynyk's putting down in Houston, he's lighting it up. I think they're actually missing a lot of the dirty, sneaky stuff that Olynyk did for them. You know, his constant illegal screens that he was never called for. And, you know, all the other BS, I think they miss that a lot. Not that I enjoyed watching it.
His kung fu grip on shoulders.
Like, yeah, exactly. Shoulder sockets, yeah. Exactly. But I do think they miss that versus, you know, Oladipo not playing for them.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. So, have we beaten the stuffing out of the NBA? I kind of feel like we have.
Yeah, probably.
So, you got anything to recommend or any stories or anything, EG, you want to send along?
I got a lot of stories from the last production, but recovering from that.
Sorting through them. It may be too soon.
It might be too soon. Yeah, that's true. But I've been listening to the new Royal Blood album.
Okay. What's that? I'm not familiar with them.
Oh, Royal Blood? No?
Nope.
Royal Blood's sort of like a... this is English rock duo. They're kind of they're cool like rock band. I mean, they kind of like hit it and their new album is their third album called Typhoon, which comes out this month. They've released three songs off. There's the newest one is Boilermaker, which kind of nifty hit. So I don't know, if you get a chance to check them out, they've got a real, modern rock kind of file.
Royal Blood are an English rock duo formed in Brighton in 2011, consisting of Mike Kerr on vocals and bass and Ben Thatcher on drums. Their sound is anchored by Kerr's unique bass playing technique in which he uses various effects pedals and multiple amps to make his bass sound like a guitar and a electric guitar and bass at the same time. Interesting. So it's almost like a Black Keys with a bass player.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, drummer and front man. Interesting. I've checked them out. That sounds cool.
Yeah, they're a cool band.
David,
the new album's pretty good.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued. David, anything to recommend?
I've got lots of stuff going on. I'd recommend getting a second dog. I recently got a second dog. Today has not been a good day. He's been a little testing. He peed on his toy in front of me, and then I thought he was humping the pillow, and he decided to pee on the pillow, which was also on the couch. But I was saying earlier today that I feel like I'm living in a pea sandwich because my other dogs also,
how many dogs do you have?
I have two. I have two Basset Hounds.
Okay.
Both of which I just lucked into. But, my older dog has to the point where if she wants to pee real bad, she'll just like let it go because she doesn't really care. She knows she's going to get food and cookies all the time. And, the younger one will just, I don't know what his yet. So yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm living.
Interesting. I'm also dog sitting right now. So I have three dogs right this week.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, we have a little dachshund. We've been a little miniature dachshund. We've been dog sitting.
Ooh, that's long dog, short leg crew.
Yeah, like, and she's the like most dachshunds are kind of mean. She's the sweetest thing. The problem is, much like you, I feel like I'm living in a pea sandwich because she is not very well housebroken, and I don't know if it's because the people that normally have her are not very diligent about training her or whether she's just in a new environment, but pretty much I have to leave her in her cage like in the morning and then just carry her out because if I let her out of her crate, she will just go instantly the minute she gets out of the crate. And it makes me so mad. So I have to like pick her up in the crate, take her outside, put her on the leash, walk her out. This morning, shovel off the snow of the grass and then take her out there. So it's, she's been a good bit of work, but she's sweet. And then my other two dogs, I just had my Sheba. Today was the year anniversary of us adopting him.
Oh, party time.
Yeah. It was his adoption day. Yeah. Dogs are awesome. Recommend dogs.
I like the dogs. And I got engaged, so I'm excited about
congrats,
that.
Congrats, man. Yeah,
thank you.
Did you got a date yet?
No.
No, he's engaged. He's not dating anymore, EG.
No. I asked if he had a date yet.
I'm being an idiot.
Oh, okay. No. I thought you just didn't understand.
Not yet.
No, I understood you. I was just being a jerk.
Okay.
we're still trying to figure the date.
Well, chances are, it's not going to happen this summer, right? Like, so chances
Yeah.
Like, absolutely
not. At least next summer, maybe the summer after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Nice.
I have one last thing to plug. The Nanny on HBO. It's actually a great show.
The Nanny?
The Fran Drescher show.
The original sitcom from the 90s?
Yes, it's on HBO.
HBO again. Max?
Yeah. And I hated it when I was a child, and it's a lot better now.
Even with her voice?
I'm with you, EG.
I can tolerate her voice. Yeah, the show, it's just nice to see a ridiculous sitcom again. Like, so much of what they do and say just couldn't be said. It's enjoyable.
Oh, yeah, the Golden Girls still holds up for that reason. Like, the Golden Girls wouldn't even be allowed to be on television now.
So, I have fun facts about the Golden Girls. So, my favorite TV show of all time is Soap. Like,
that was a great show.
What's happening right now?
The 70s show that was a parody of soap operas. But the lady
what did
that
I stumble
did
into?
The lady that did
Do you
Golden
want to go
Girls
back to Romania?
Soap. Yes. Sorry, David. Go ahead.
It's the lady that did Golden Girls, Susan Anderson, did Soap.
Okay.
Too.
Which also was featured Bea Arthur.
Is Bea Arthur in Soap?
I believe she was, yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I know Billy Crystal's in Soap.
Billy Crystal was in Soap.
That's why they're both so ridiculous. I like Golden Girls, too. That's an enjoyable show.
I like Golden Grahams. I have another pitch, too. If you guys haven't checked out Sound of Metal yet.
What is Sound of Metal?
It's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, Sound of Metal is about a drummer who starts losing his hearing, but stars Riz Ahmed, and he's fantastic.
I love this. That was a masterful subject change. I guess Bea Arthur was only on one episode of Soap, just so you know.
Bea Arthur again.
Do you have beef with Bea Arthur? Because that would be
that would be
the greatest story ever.
I know. I don't have beef with any woman in Hollywood.
All right.
That was a very
that
smart
I know,
answer.
That I know of.
Nice. Oh, my God. That's so great.
Yeah. It's hilarious.
Like, what is the odds that David would come up with Soap? Like, that's the most random show ever that anyone could have.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
I don't doubt it. I don't even know. Who knows? I haven't
There's this great show I've been watching in
50 years.
There's this great show I've been watching called All in the Family. And this guy Rob Reiner, they call him Meathead on the show.
Oh, there was a really good interview. I actually should send this to you, David. There was I don't know what magazine it was, but Dick Van Dyke actually gave a great interview in one of the trade pubs recently, and it was like a really long form interview and just talking about his life and all this stuff.
Wait, who did?
Dick Van Dyke.
No, I don't like that show. My mom, that's like that Moonlighter
show.
He
only likes shows with
No. Alright, Soap was actually funny. But
and then there's Maude.
What I like the who was the girl that's in Milwaukee? Mary Tyler Moore show.
Laverne and Shirley.
Mary Tyler Moore was married to Dick Van Dyke on the Dick Van Dyke show.
He doesn't like that show, Nate.
Oh, I never saw a Dick Van Dyke show, but I saw.
Yeah, you've seen Mary Poppins though, right?
I've never seen. Well, no, I've seen Mary.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, he's the chimney sweep.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You're thinking of Dick Van Patten.
Yeah, you're thinking of Eight Is Enough.
Yeah.
You're not thinking of Diagnosis Murder.
That's what I'm thinking of. He's in Mary Poppins?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chitty Bang Bang.
You have to edit out the last part of the pod.
Why?
Why? No, dude, that's priceless.
This is the only good part.
Everyone's going to think I'm an idiot.
Nobody, David. If they've made it this far, they already know we're all idiots.
That's true. All right. I do have a interesting story, so I don't know how this relates, But for some reason, I think someone mentioned Rob. How did Rob Reiner come up?
Because I said – I was jokingly said that I like All in the Family.
Is Rob Reiner – he did that?
No. He was the son. He was the son-in-law. He was Meathead.
Oh, I've never seen that show. So Rob Reiner's kid went to college where I went to college, and I remember asking him about Spinal Tap, and he had no idea that his dad did Spinal Tap.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his kid's name? I can't remember.
Like, it was literally like at a random frat party deal.
That's so weird. Oh, I'm thinking of Jason. I'm thinking of Reitman's kid, not Reiner's kid.
Oh yeah, his dad's name is Carl.
He's done a couple things.
Just a few.
Wait, Carl Reiner?
Oh my Carl. God.
So my friend turned me on to I haven't started reading it yet, but he turned me on to the Groucho Marx biography, which he says is amazing.
Oh, I'm sure it is. That guy was.
Is it a newer biography?
No, it's been around for a little while, but it's called Groucho and Me.
Interesting.
But that's up next in my queue. Things to
that,
read.
That might be a good book on tape for.
Might be. Yeah.
Because I've been driving back and forth. Those always come in handy. So how I kind of got on Dick Van Dyke was, if you've watched any of WandaVision, it's kind of a lot of it. Dick Van Dyke was actually an advisor on the show for what it's based on, you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and then 80s sitcom, all the way up through to the 90s. I thought WandaVision was okay. It's a little ridiculous towards the end. But I will say I recommend Falcon and the Winter. Really enjoying. I really want to see where they go with it.
I'm honestly waiting for Loki.
Well, I am too, but I really have enjoyed Falcon and the World.
I'm 3 episodes in. It's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the 5th episode is my favorite. And I'm trying to remember the name.
That's the one with B. Arthur
and Billy Crystal and Dick Van Dyke. No, I think that Anthony Mackie's character gets really interesting in that show around the 5th episode, and they give him a lot of stuff that they haven't given him to do in the past, and I'm enjoying that part of it. And I'll just say that. And, yeah.
All right.
That's all I got there. But I've enjoyed it, and I'm excited for Loki.
Yeah, and then the next one is the secret...
Secret Invasion?
Yeah, Secret Invasion, all about the Skrulls, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, is that a movie or a show?
Show.
Oh, okay. And they kind of led into that with WandaVision with the Skrulls at the end, so.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert. Yeah, and then I think the other thing I have to...
No, Nate, you're supposed to say spoiler alert before you say the news.
Well, I know, but I'm not going to go back and fix it in post, so.
Well, you could.
I could, but I'm not. And then I
because this is the laziest podcast in the world.
It is. I'm gonna say that the other thing I'm gonna recommend. They reissued Tony Hawk 1 and 2 last year.
I got it right when it came out. Beautiful games.
It's so much fun. It's everything you remember about it, but like much better graphics and better gameplay and fun and making your own character. Awesome soundtracks and all that stuff. The game's nice. A real gem, I think. So, the best part about that game, you can play it for 15 minutes. You can play it for 3 hours. You know, it's really easy to pick up and put. That's nice. All I got. So,
at the risk of being long in the tooth.
Oh, we are a little bit, but Cavs, will they play again Friday?
Yeah, I think so. Charlotte, yep. Right?
Yeah, and 14 games left, man. This season has been a whirlwind for sure.
It's only just getting started for me.
Well, maybe we'll see.
Cavs are 1-0. Cavs are 1-0 in the Gregory Buckner era. So.
Yeah, best winning percentage in the NBA.
Yeah,
dude, go Cavs.
What other coach gets a ice water bath on his inaugural victory?
At least he didn't turn down the game ball.
True.
Like David Blatt after his first NBA win.
Well, I mean, he's not a rookie coach. He's not a rookie coach. Yeah, I mean, David Blatt was the B. Arthur of Russia. Israel or wherever he's from. Sorry, David. Sorry.
Oh, man. This is the best.
All right. On that note.
On that note, go Cavs.
All right.
Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite bloggers. There's a fire.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.